8. We are on Sadiches 98a. A couple lines down here. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Quoting from Rav, Hamaver Arba Amos B'Shis Rabin Mekore Pater. Lefisha Eino Domo Digle Behemla. So we had just talked about if you throw something through a covered building that's a Rishis HaYachid, so that's Machlokas whether or not it's considered to have fallen within that Rishis HaYachid, even though it goes through it. Here we're saying, what if you passed from a Rishis HaYachid to Rishis HaYachid, or if you go under, or if you walk in a Rishis HaRabim anyway, and that Rishis HaRabim is covered, meaning presumably it doesn't have walls, or maybe it has some kind of overhang that makes it covered. So that says, so the Gemara says, you'd be pater, because it's not similar to how they used to walk in, or how they used to define a Rishis HaRabim inside of the midbar. So the Gemara says, "Ini, is that really true?" V'ha'agalos mekoros havyan v'amar rav mishum merabi chia agalos tachtein ben amit sidem rishis harabim. So the Gemara says, "Wait a second. If you look at the wagon, which we've been talking about all the time, and that is basically the source for going in and out of a public and private domain." So the Gemara says that the wagon was lifted above the ground, and underneath it could have been considered a Rishis HaRabim. And that's exactly how Rabbi Chiya said it, that underneath the wagon is Rishis HaRabim. And nonetheless, we call that a Rishis HaRabim, even though it's covered. So clearly that does have a source, that does have a precedent to call something which is covered a public domain. So how can you tell me it's dissimilar to the public domain of the Midbar? Clearly it is similar to the public domain of the Midbar when it comes to the wagons. So Kikam Rav Bidarasa. Says Rav, no, we're talking here about the beams being arranged in stacks. So even though it's true that the space underneath the wagons could have been a Rishis HaRabim, that's only when it was completely covered. Here they were arranged in a way, Rashi says, Berevach Shebein Shuros Haseder. Shehaya soder karish al karish seder echad umanicha revach v'soder soder v'soder seder achar umanicha revach. Meaning there was always going to be spaces in between the there's always going to be spaces if you look at David's thing here. I wonder if I had one. I don't know. Yeah, there are always going to be spaces in between the stacks. In which case, it's never really a full roof. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, but let's look at that for a second. How are they situated? Michti. Orka da galakamahave. How wide was the wagon? Chamish amin. It was 5 amos. So then what happens? Pusti de keresh kamahave. How wide was each of the beams which you're laying down on top of the wagon? So amsa upalga. It was 1.5 amos. So kamamosiv. So how many could you put down if it's 5 amos long? You have 1.5 wide beams. You can put down 3 stacks. Pashle pagal damas. So then you have 4.5 amos worth of beams, the beam widths, and then you have a half an amma of space. So the Gemara says clearly, kishad lemar beinu beini kolafu dami. When you do the calculation, these beams might not be touching each other, but they're at least lavud. As we usually say, lavud dictates that if you have 3 tefachim in between something, less than 3 tefachim in between two things, so we consider it halachically like it's connected. We said yesterday that was a mesorah that we have from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says, so that would still be considered to be covered. Even if there are spaces in between them, that would still be covered, and therefore the underneath would still be considered a Rishis HaRabim in the times of the Midbar, and therefore you can't tell me that you'd be pater for going under a, therefore you can't be pater for going under a covered Rishis HaRabim, because that is an ideal form based on the Midbar.
How can we say that if the wagons were 5 amos wide, the beams overhang the edge of the wagons a bit on each side, and that would leave you more space than 3 tefachim in between them?
I my understanding is that there was a border of some kind on the wagon, but maybe I'm wrong. The picture doesn't show it. I guess you could overlap it a little bit. It still wouldn't help you, though. You still wouldn't be able to get 3 tefachim in between every single beam.
No, I'm saying not overlap them, but just... the way the picture is, the end of the beam is exactly at the end of the wagon.
Right, I know what you're saying.
Beam, so that part of that beam is overhanging beyond the end of the wagon.
Right, so even if you would do that, the most you could probably do that is half an amma for the end beams, and that's going to give you an amma and a half for the three spaces, which gives you only half an amma. Right. Is half an amma more than three tefachim? Well, I guess that's a machlokas if it's three or five or three or two and a half tefachim. It would still be close. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure if there's something that requires the beams to be on the exact outskirts that can't be overhanging. I don't know. Interesting question.
And the other thing is I don't think we know. I don't think the Torah ever tells us what size the wagons are, does it?
Yeah, I don't know how we know this. I don't know how we know that it's five. Clearly the Gemara says so, though. I don't know why where they get it from. Okay, I don't know. Good questions. These types of things are a little more nuanced and detailed. They're not really explicit, so got to figure that out. I don't know. There might be a reason why they can't overhang. So the Gemara then says, "Mi savar krashim apusaihu hava manachlehu." Who says that they went down on their wider side? Maybe achudan manachlehu. It's really that they were positioned on their other side, on their thinner, their narrower side. So the Gemara is not going to ask. So sumcha tekeresh kamahave. So amasa. So that type, that depth of the beam is how much? It's one amma. Kamahave mosiv arba. You put down four, which gives you over pasha la amsa. You have one amma left worth of space in the wagon. Kisha de lemar beni beni klavadami. The same thing should still be applicable. So ha ni chalman to amar krashim ilamatim ovion amma. That makes sense according to those who say that the milamalan kalin v'holchen ad ka'etzba shapir. So it makes sense if you're going to say that the beams might have started off with one amma of width, but they end up coming to a point, right? They sort of look like long skewers almost. That they're very long triangles. In which case, you'd be able to separate them with the airspace in between. You'd be able to make it more than three tefachim apart, each of them. So if that's the case, so then that makes sense that you'd be able to do so. And separate them, and therefore it wouldn't be a real covered Rosh Hasharabim. El Amanda Amar Kishem Shalom Elamatan, Ovin Amma Kachlam Aman, Ovin Amma Maikulam. Everybody, those who say there was a rectangle, that the beams were just regular beams, 2x4s basically, so then, not the same measurement, but either way, you get the point. So then, how can you understand it? So Amar of Kahana Ba'at Bai. What it means is that these wagons were only frames only. So the Gemara says, "Atbay hecha manach lehu, agaba dagala, agal gufa mekora have." Hold on. When we said the untie of the wagon was considered to be a public beam, the statement was not referring to when the beams were stacked. Right? There's no beams. So now the Gemara is saying, what? Where was the frame? The frame was on top of. But where would they place the frames on top of the wagon when the beams were already stacked on it and the wagon itself was already covered by the beams as stated above? Yeah, I don't know what that does for this conversation. It's saying that, therefore...
It's empty.
It was empty, so then they're saying that at some point it was still covered? Is that what we're saying?
Right. But you had an amma space.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's,
two sets of beams that it's uncovered. Yes.
So there might have been some space in between at some point, but you can't. I think what it's saying is you can't just say that at some point it was uncovered and therefore it was never covered. It was still sometimes covered. So it sounds to be. I don't know why I say it like that, but either way. So Amar Shmuel b'Yesedos. Rather, what it means is it's referring to the stakes of the Mishkan. What does that mean, the stakes? So here the Sefari explains, before the Levium would place the beams on the wagon, they would position the stakes, which were particularly narrow, but therefore the space between them was greater than three hand breadths, and the area beneath the wagons was therefore considered an uncovered public domain. I still don't know how that answers the question, because at some point you're going to have to put the beams on them. So I don't know exactly.
Right, but it's, but before they put the beams on it, the area under the wagon was an uncovered public domain.
Yeah, but you could say the same thing when it was only a frame.
But we're trying to figure out how it's the public domain that's covered, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure.
I'm not either.
Yeah. There's a lot of discussion about the Rishonim, but either way, so that's how this conversation goes, at least according to the Gaonim. The Gemara continues, Tanarabanan, Krashim Ilamata Ovin Amal Milamal Kalim Vahochan Arka Etzba. So we had said before that the beams, according to one opinion, start on one side as on the length, start as one Amal wide, and then they get to a small little point at the end, like a big triangle. Shinamar Yusamim Al Rosha. Tamim could mean to finish. Ulahalan Huomar Tamun Nichrasu. Darshaning from Yehoshua that the end is finished. It's like tam, like we say by Shavuos, we say by the Sfira, it has to be tamimos tiyan, it has to be full, it has to be done. So the other way you can understand, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's how he understands that it has to finish off, that it has to be non-existent anymore. Rabbi Nechemi Omer Kshem Shilamatim Oven Ama Kach Melamana Oven Ama Shnemar Yachdav, that they have to be together. So both sides have to be one Ama long, the same length, width. V'haksiv tamim, but doesn't say tamim according to Rabbi Nachman. Nechemya, how do you understand the word tamim? So he says, Hahu delesu sham of lo lesu din nisra. He says they have to be full planks. Tamim doesn't mean finished, but it means full. Okay, we know that. Also, tamima could be understood that way. V'idach nami haksiv yachtav. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, how does he understand it? The pasuk says yachtav, they have to be together. That the both sides, according to Rabbi Nachemya, say they have to be the same distance, the same width. Hahud lo l'shal chofin hu mi'adade. That just means that they shouldn't be positioned a little wacky. They should be completely parallel so that they're all in the same order. Okay, so the Gemara doesn't mean anything about their lengths or their widths. So Bish Lamalamanda Amar Kshemishilamatamovyan Ama Kachmilamanovin Ama Hainudiksiv Ulyarksia Mishkan Yamatasa Shisha Krashim Mushnekrashim Tasel Muktos Da Asi Pusya Dahani Bimale Layla Sumcha Dahani. It makes sense when you say that the beams were one Ama going through the entire beam. It was one long Ama. So if that's the case, that's how it makes sense that when the Pasuk tells us in whatever it says, Truma, that it says that the back of the Mishkan was six beams, and then you had another two beams from the corners, and basically it came to a corner. Meaning that the beams comes and the covers the remaining thickness of the walls. But if you're gonna say, because it's a full beam, and those beams can the entire height of the beam is the same width, and they can be situated right up against each other. So the Gemara then says, but if the situation is elamanda amar milamatan oven ama milaman kalin vahochan ad ketzba, but if it's basically one big triangle and it comes to a point at the top, high over high nafik. So imagine like you're trying to build with cones. You're going to have spaces that aren't touching each other at the top, right? Because the triangles aren't going to be full at the top. So how do you do it? So the Gemara says the shafi lehu kiturin. He says I think it means, I'm not 100% sure, they would lean them over so that they would touch each other at the corners. Okay. Like a mountain. They were sloped like a mountain, okay? The Habriach, and then now that we're talking about this, we're going to go into other things about the Mishkan's construction. The Habriach Hatichem Besocha Krashim Tana B'nei Sai Omed. The middle bar there in the beams of the Mishkan, in the beams of the Mishkan, in the slats that made the walls, there was one pole that ran right through all of them. And it's a big pella. How did you exactly get the beam in the middle? So you'd have to put them all in through it. So the Gemara says that it must have been an ace. It must have been a miracle that they were able to get that middle bar, that it bent around every corner so that it could go through every single one of those walls, beams.
What does the word omate mean here, though?
It's usually standing, but we're not referring to something standing. Yeah. What's the name?
I think it's just established there. I don't think omid always means to stand. Yeah, it would like stood there. It was stuck there. Yeah. Good question. I don't know. V'yasa mishkan tasa eser yirios orcha yirah ha'achas shmona v'esri ma'ama. And you would make 10 curtains. The length of each of them would be 28 amos. So how do you figure 28 amos? So we're going to go through different types of curtains right now. One of them is 28 amos long. So the Gemara says, Shadi orchai lefusya de mishkan. So kamahavi esrin v'samni. If you go on the width of the mishkan, so it's going to be 28. There's good pictures in here. Hold on. So here's one picture here of it coming over the Mishkan. Okay? And you can see it's draped over the walls that we just talked about. But you can see closely that the curtain doesn't fall all the way to the ground. And that's what we're going to be talking about here. So the Gemara says it's 28 overall. So let's do some math. Shadi orchai lefusya de mishkan kamahavi esrin v'samni. Dal aser le'igra. So the top of the Mishkan is 10 amos wide. So you have an overhang of 9 and 9, right? Take 10 away from 28, you've got 9 and 9. So the Rabbi Yehuda migla ama da adanim, and at the bottom of each of the beams, there was a socket. The socket which held the beams together. Doesn't have it here too clear. Oh, here, I guess. Each of these beams had a socket at the bottom. So overall, the entire height of this beam and socket was 10 amos. The bottom socket is 1 amma, and then the carriage above it is 9 amos. So the Gemara says here, if you have 9 of an overhang, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so then it's going to reveal 1 amma of the sockets underneath. But according to Rabbi Nechemiah, who explains that really it's a full, the width on top is a full amma, in which case the... Wait a second. Yeah, no, the width on top is not a full amma. It's got to be half an amma, right?
The krushim went through the adonim top to bottom. So really, if the keresh was 10 amos, and the adonim didn't really add anything to the
keresh. No, the adonim were solid blocks underneath them. And the keresh fit inside of it.
They had a hole in the middle.
Yeah, but one of the amos right, of so the... That means the peg of the amma that went into the socket was an amma wide, an amma long.
So does that mean that the beam was really 12 and two of the ammas were covered by adonim?
No, it was really 10 and one of the ammas was covered by the adonim.
On top and on the bottom, so it was 8.
No, the top one, there was nothing added to the top ones in terms of distance, in terms of length. They were just grouped right together with something, but there was no added height to it.
Right, so you're saying that the peg didn't come to the bottom of the adonim? On the bottom?
It might have.
It didn't go all the way through? Didn't it have a full cavity where the peg went to...
Yeah.
Completely
through? Yeah.
Which means that you can't count the height of the adonim on the bottom.
No, we're not counting the height of the adonim.
It doesn't add to the height.
Yeah, no, the overall... it doesn't add to overall height. It's basically like this is the socket, and it just fits into it. So it's 10 overall. That's right. The point. In terms of if you would see it without a covering, it's 9. When it's in the socket, there's 9 amos of the carriage of the beam, and then there's 1 amma of the socket. So the Gemara here is saying, basically, I'm mixing myself up. If you put the curtain over it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that the tops were a point, so then you don't have to go across as much. You're gaining an amma on each side widthwise for the curtain to hang over. So when it goes down, it's going to have a longer length to go down. So for this curtain, at least, it's going to still show only 1 amma of the socket, but for Rabbi Nechemiah, who says you still have to go over another amma's worth over the side, because he doesn't think it comes to a point, but rather that it's still an amma wide. So for him, it's going to hang over, but it's still going to be even, it's going to end up being higher up from the ground, because it had to cover a greater distance of the width on top. And therefore, he says, Migla Amma de Krashim. Not only will it show one Amma of the socket, it'll also show an Amma of the beams. So Shadi Pusailu Orkan de Mishkan Kama Havye Arbain. So place the width, the curtain's width, across the entire length of the Mishkan, and that was 40 Amos. Dal Tlasim Le'igres, so 30 of them are going to be for the top of the Mishkan. Pashaluhu Asar. And then in the back of it, you're going to have, because it was open on one side, obviously, and on the back of it, you're going to have an overhang of 10. Because it was a 40 Amos long. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Mekasya Amma Da'adanim, Rabbi Nechem Megali Amma Da'adanim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that 10 is going to cover everything, even the sockets. And Rabbi Nechemi, it's going to cover only the carriage, only the beams, but it's still going to show the socket at the bottom, because again, he has a greater thickness of the wall that he has to cover with the curtain. Another 30 amma wide. 30 amma wide curtain that goes on top. Shadi or kaila pusha de mishkan kam havit slasin. So it's got to be 30 wide. Dal eser le igra, you take away 10 for the roof. Pashaluhu aser la haikisa va aser la haikisa. You have 10 and 10, similar to the 28, but you just have 10 overhanging the other side. Rabbi Yehuda makasya amada adanim. Rabbi Nechem megale amada adanim. So again, same thing. Rabbi Yehuda's got an extra amma, which is going to cover the sockets. Rabbi Nechem has less than one amma on each side. One amma less on each side, which is going to reveal the adan, the sockets on the bottom. So Tani Nami Hachi, the Brisa tells us, Ha'amma mizeh, ha'amma mizeh ba'odef. There's an extra amma on each side. L'kasos amma shal adanim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That means that you have to cover the extra one of the sockets. Rabbi Nechami Omer, l'kasos amma shal krashim. Really what it means is, you're covering the last amma of the beams, not of the sockets, which are revealed according to Rabbi Nechami. Shadi pusayilu orke demishkan kama havyeh. So again, you have to cover the length of the Mishkan. Arbain v'arbai. Overall, it's going to be 44. Dal tlasin l'igra pashaluhu arbeisar. So you take away 30 for the roof, and you have 4 left over. Dal tarti l'kafla, dirsi v'kafalta es hayira shishisa amul panea ol pashaluhu tarti sari. So you're going to take 2 of them. I believe this means that it's going to overhang in the front. No, on the back, it's going to overhang 2. I wasn't 100% sure about what this meant. I think main note means you cut you double over something. What? It overhangs 2 on the front? Yeah, so I think it overhangs 2 in the front. I guess that's what this picture is. Sorry. You see it has a little overhang under the ceiling, under the roof here. It goes down 2 amas from the ceiling. And then you have 12 on the back. So you're gonna have overall, you're going to have 2 hanging over the back. Right, you're going to have 2. You see this? I don't know if anyone can see this. You have 2 sort of dangling on the floor. Right? So the Gemara says, so Bishlam, the Rabbi Huda, Hainu Dechsev, that makes sense according to Rabbi Huda. Chatzia Hirao Devas Tisrach. That's what it means, that it's going, the back of the extra curtain is going to hang over. Here it translates the word tisrach as hanging over. Rashi says nigreres v'sulo shaharei ove akrashim miyed ba'ama. Oh, he's talking about the next part of the Gemara. But either way, so the El Rabbi Nechemya, who has less of a hangover. So how does he say my tisrach? So tisrach mechavrosa. It's going to hang more than the other ones. In his opinion, the curtain is 2 amos longer than the other curtains covering the tabernacle. Right, from the other curtains that are underneath it that aren't as long. Okay, it's going to be more than those. It's like a woman who has a dress on and it's got like a train. Like a bride's gown that has a train dragging behind it. So too the Mishkan's curtain also had that. So Tanur Rabbanan Charutzim Hayu Krashim Vechalum Hayu Adanim. The beams were grooved at the bottom and the sockets were hollow. Veneer and Krasim Belaluos Kukhavim Berakia. And there are also clasps on the loops which connected the curtains to one another that looked like stars in the sky. I guess because they sort of created these little dots along the wall. Let's just finish this part. Tanu Rabbanan Yuriyos HaTachtonos Shal Tchelos Shal Argamon Shal Tulal Shanim Shal Shesh Shal Yonos Shal Maaseh Izim. that the bottom curtains, the underneath curtains, were made of purple wool, of treles and purple wool, and scarlet and fine linen, and the top curtains, the ones that were over it, were made of goat hair. Okay, the wisdom of the artisanship for the top ones of the goat hair was greater than those that which were for those that were underneath them. So how do we know? It says a woman who was with her the wisdom of her heart, she sewed it. More descriptive language about their hearts and their wisdom, and therefore it's understood to be that the top ones, which were made of goat hair, had required a greater skill. That the hair was rinsed on the goats, and it was even spun from the goats, which implies that it was much harder to make these goat curtains over them. Okay.
That was said somewhere in the past where we referred to the